It's Border Crossings with Larry London from VOA 1.
Hello and welcome to the show. We're live in downtown D.C. and in our studios today on tour for a brand new album, Primal Heart. We'd like to welcome Kimbra. She's here in D.C. for a show tonight, and she joins us on today's Border Crossings. Welcome to Border Crossings. My name is Larry London, and in our studios on tour for her third album, which is called Primal Heart, we'd like to welcome to Washington, D.C., a very talented Grammy-winning songwriter, singer. Kimbra's here. Kimbra, nice to have you.
Hi, Larry. Thank you for having me.
Now, you come to us via New Zealand originally, then you moved to Australia.
Yes.
And how about now? Where are you living these days?
Well, I moved to LA after Australia. That's where I signed to Warner Brothers and wrote The Golden Echo, my second album. Now I'm in New York. So,
New York.
Yeah, 2.5 years there, and I'm really, really loving it.
And how's the adjustment been from living where you've lived to coming here to the U.S. Is a big change or no?
It is a big change, but, you know, I think there's a similar sense of humor for New Zealanders. We grew up with a lot of American television, and, you know, I think I've kind of fitted into the society quite well because I'm inspired by the ambition here, and I've always been quite an ambitious person. So, yeah, I feel like I belong, and it's been really nice to make a home here, you know?
And growing up with a father who's a doctor and a mom who's a nurse, how did you decide music was the career choice for you?
Yeah, it wasn't really a conscious decision in the sense that I, you know, said, yep, this is what I'm going to do for a career. I was totally prepared to go to university and, you know, study and do the kind of traditional road. But there was almost a kind of spiritual calling on my life for music. It was, you know, even since the young age of eight, I was writing music on little cassette tapes, you know, little songs. And my parents were really encouraging. They felt medicine was a really hard road to take. You know, they'd seen how difficult it could be to live with a job with so much pressure. They actually were really encouraging of me following my dream, you know, so I'm super blessed for that.
And you sang in school choir and won awards for singing in school choir.
Yeah, New Zealand had this amazing like high school band competition where kids would like stay in high school just to enter in this rock band competition. And I was one of the only girls in the finals of the whole competition. And I was, you know, 14 when I first entered on my guitar. And I think that was my big boost of encouragement, you know, was to be singing that young and also like acknowledged at that level, you know, at the country level or, you know, national level. Yeah, and I'm surprised to see there's not a bit more of that actually in other countries because it was such a wonderful way to encourage kids not only to stay at school, but to get into music really young.
Mm-hmm. And your jazz roots started early and then you kind of evolved from jazz into rock, pop, R&B, you've done a lot of different things. You worked with Skrillex recently. We're going to talk about that a little later on. A lot of things to cover with Kimber, who's in our studios. Would you do a song for us?
Let's do it,
We'd love to hear some live music. What is the song you're going to do?
I'm going to play a song called Everybody Knows. This was the first single off Primal Heart. Sounds very different on the record, but I'm going to, you know, do a sort of intimate version for you today.
I'm exclusive with Kimber live here on The Voice of America.
Calls you home. Vacant eyes, they won't tell us all. You fooled me once, now I'm twice as old. See, I ain't gonna lie and I ain't gonna phone you. No, I ain't gonna try to forget what I've gone through. Got a little box, yeah, that I'm gonna open. Take your promises, cause they've all been broken. Everybody knows what you do. Everybody saw and sold the truth. I was young and gullible. Now
Wow, wow, wow. Love it. Kimbra, live here on the Border Crossings. Beautiful song. The album Primal Heart, you say it's more passionate and raw than anything you've done before. This is your third album. So what do you mean when you say more passionate and raw?
Well, I've gone from being a 22, 24-year-old making the second album to 27. And as we all know, there's a really big year. It's really defining years of your life. And probably years that you kind of start to define what failure and success looks like and sort of come to terms with things like pain and suffering, you know. And I think I had some very deep experiences over that time that kind of helped me to accept parts of myself and want to share them with others, you know. I think that's like a really powerful thing when you can practice acceptance and share it with others. And I'd also done a lot of really theatrical music previously, and that was a lot of fun, but the most kind of evolved thing I could think to do for myself at this point was to kind of take away the costumes and the craziness, right, and just strip it back to basics. And I think that's been quite liberating and scary, mm-hmm. but it's felt like the right thing to do.
And you wrote all the songs on the new album?
Yeah, that's right. I collaborate, you know, with different producers. I also produced myself and engineered a lot on this album. Yeah, lyrics always have to, you know, really come from me, I think. Mm-hmm. But I really do love kind of building ideas with other beat makers, people like you said, Skrillex, you know, that might have an inspiring groove. Mm-hmm. And then I can kind of jump on that and build from there.
What other surprises on the album? Who else did you work with?
One of my favorite bass players, I don't know if you're familiar with Pino Palladino. Mm-hmm. He played with D'Angelo, Nine Inch Nails, huge, you know, massive artists. But he's just kind of the master of the pocket. You know, I'm such a big fan, so he came on the album. A lot of the musicians on in Beck's band were also on this album. Beck is a big idol of mine also. Yeah, you have to wait and see for the rest. I can't give it all away.
You have an eclectic group of influences. I mean, Prince and Minnie Riperton, I've read, were Michael Jackson music.
Oh, yeah.
And you just mentioned Beck.
Mm-hmm.
Very far apart from Minnie Riperton and Beck, but
true.
Miles apart. So.
Yeah, but I think they're all great songwriters.
Yes.
And timeless artists. And also, you can't compare anyone to those artists, right?
Yes.
No one does what Beck does. I mean, he's ranged from so many different genres, and no one has a voice like Minnie. No one has ever been Michael Jackson. I mean, these are iconic artists mm. that are different genres, yes, but soulful, soulful artists. So I resonate with soul.
Now, when you go back and check out some of the music you wrote when you were 8, 9, 10, what do you think of those songs these days now? I mean, very young, inexperienced, nothing to really draw on, but
right.
You're writing songs.
That's right. I think, you know, we learn a craft by mimicking a lot of the time, right? So in those early days, I was listening to Destiny's Child, Christina Aguilera, and, you know, I would copy the structure, right? Oh, the verse and the chorus. And I look back with affection that I was quite a perceptive child, like, you know, zoning into the pop formula from a young age. So, yeah, it's a little embarrassing, but I do, like, fondly look back at those years.
What's your favorite part of the process? Is it the writing, or is it the actual performing of the songs, or is it concert tours? What do you like most about being Kimbra and being the star that you are?
There's something really nice about tour life, because you kind of have one focus for the day, which is to turn up and be present with someone like yourself or with your audience and give them everything, give them your all. In the writing process and the producing process, there's a lot of things to think about. You have multiple songs going on at once. It's like different puzzles to solve, right? All of these songs, how are we going to get them to the finish line? It's a fantastic part of the process, but it can be a little more stressful because there's so many moving parts. But I think this part of the process is so enjoyable because I have my team around me, people who support me, and I have one job to do. You know, there's always lots of, you know, other things to do, but it feels like the most important thing is to just perform these songs for people. So I get a lot of enjoyment out of this part of the process.
And you found fame found you very early on, 2012. There you are holding 2 Grammys, you know, for the hit song that you collaborated with Gotye on.
Yeah.
So how did that come about? How did you connect with the song, somebody that I used to know, and Gotye? How did he find you? How did that all work out?
I was a fan of Gotye's work. he had a record that I was really in love with as a young teenager. And I remember saying to my manager at the time, whoever is working on the production of this music, I want to collaborate with them because it's so sonically interesting. And that's how I worked with Francois Tites, who co-produced the first album. And, you know, I asked if I could meet Wally. I was like, I'm a huge fan, you know. So we became kind of friends, and he was searching for the right partner for this song, you know, who could bring it to life in the way he wanted. And the producer, Francois, said, well, you know, you could try Kimbra. And we got together in my bedroom studio in Australia, and he brought his microphone over, turned up at the door with it in his hand, and we said, let's give it a shot, you know, and he was very strong about how he envisioned it. He really wanted me to find a place where I was drawing from the very, you know, the very most vulnerable place I could. And he really pushed me to access something that was a little, you know, challenging for me. But obviously it resonated with people, and I'm glad that I, like, kind of went to that difficult place in that song because, yeah, touched a lot of people.
It was a great song, is a great song, and so you had chemistry, the two of you, obviously. Any chance the two of you might collaborate again in the future? I know he stepped away from music now. He's doing art or something, but
he's doing a lot of things. Yeah. Yeah, he is working on a new album, I can say. I've heard a bit of it, and it's unbelievable, yeah. I mean, look, I think it would just have to be, it would have to feel right. You know, I'm not really a believer in trying to chase down something again to try and, you know, it's right. Like moments happen for a reason. And but, you know, if it felt right again to go there, then who knows, you know?
Well, you have accomplished so much in, like I say, you're just in your 20s, and yet all these awards from New Zealand, from the Australian Recording Industry Association honored you, the Grammys. It's must put a lot of pressure on you moving forward, unless you don't care about those accolades and things. But it certainly has set the bar high that every album you come up with, every album you produce, you've got a certain expectation.
Yeah. Well, there's something positive to be said about that as well, right? Because that's what keeps you pushing. Mm-hmm. I mean, we talked about artists like MJ and Prince, and I'm sure they were very aware of how, you know, many records they sold on Thriller and what they got to, you know, follow up with. I don't think I'm so concerned with things like sales and awards, because I sort of have known this is what I, you know, want to do for a very long time. Regardless of that, I think I'd still be doing it one way or another. But in a way, I think of it as a sort of call to be even more ambitious, you know, when it comes to the fourth album, you know, take that pressure and channel it into, you know, a powerful musical statement. That's the best way I can think of approaching it.
Mm-hmm. Now, what do you think of the Me Too and the Time's Up movement, you know, where we're talking about gender equality and the women aren't getting the attention and the love and the praise and the respect that they deserve in music and in showbiz right now? A lot of solidarity at the recent Grammy Awards. Yeah. And so what? How do you view that? What's going on?
I've always been a big believer in being really good at what I do in terms of my craft, but also my technical ability. I think you speak volumes when you can turn up as a woman and be just as technically adept as men. And to me, that speaks way louder than me, you know, talking at length about how I demand equality. I just turn up and I, you know, prove it with my work. So I've been a big believer in that. But I will say I'm very excited to see that these conversations are coming up. It's beautiful to see someone like yourself ask that question, you know, and to be able to say, yeah, I think things are changing, and I think the fact that we're even having these conversations shows it's on everyone's minds. And, you know, we need to be on the same team. And that's what is so exciting about this, is that we're having men also join in that statement and go, you know what, yeah, I have women all around me that are keeping me together, and I wouldn't be here without the strong woman on my team. And I think, yeah, it just feels really good to be seeing that acknowledgement. And I think we're moving in the right direction.
Well, we're thrilled to have you here in D.C. and on The Voice of America. If you wouldn't mind doing another song,
we'd let's like do to it.
Hear something else from Kimbra, who's our guest today. She's going to stand for this one.
I just have a better vibe when I stand.
Vibe.
Yeah.
Open up the diaphragm.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, this is a song. It's called Past Love. Okay. It will be on the new album also, and it's performed with a full band.
Okay.
But today I'm going to...
What was the inspiration behind the song, if you can tell us?
Of course. Well, I was observing a relationship peripheral in my life where there was a particular person that was struggling to let go of a past love, and that's the name of the song. And it's kind of it's like I wrote the lyrics for her in a way, this woman, to kind of resurrect her faith in herself and realize that she no longer needed to depend on that person and need that affirmation in her life, that she could find it on her own. And so it's kind of a little bit of a mantra to, you know, reinstill faith in someone.
All right, beautiful. Here's Kimbra.
I don't feel the same. I took all I could take. Hey, rapture, find me now. I said I didn't mind while you stripped all my pride. 'Cause good love was mine. Broken wings, bones of coal. I used to live clinging to his elbows. Though I tried to shake the light, I live inside the sheen of every faint glow. Past love, come back to yourself. Don't keep reaching out to him. He can't help you now. It's a past life, so come back to the time. It's been far too many nights and you're still crying. I woke in early morn, feeling something's wrong. Time take me, I'm moving on. The night won't let me sleep. I wish these days of the week would fade out for me. Broken wings, bones of coal. Now every word I want to say I swallow. Though I try to shake the light, I live inside the sheen of every faint glow. Oh, past love, come back to yourself. Don't keep reaching out to him, he can't help you now. It's a past life, so come back to the time. It's been far too many nights and you're still crying. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You pour yourself into the songs. I can really see you get very emotional when you sing your songs. That's amazing. That's wonderful, too. I mean, I don't think anybody can tell the story better than the person who wrote the song.
Thank you so much. It means a lot to me, that one.
No, I can tell. I can tell. Now, the name Kimbra, is that a very common name in New Zealand? Is that a unique name? I had never heard it before.
Yeah. No, it's not. It's not very common. There is one other Kimbra that I know of in New Zealand, and she's a author. But yeah, I don't know. My parents heard it one day, and they loved it. That's the only story I got.
Are you an only child?
I have a brother. Yeah, he's a little bit
younger.
He's a great jazz pianist, yeah. But he's gone into kind of more the world of economics and business. So, yeah, I'm kind of the only musician doing it professionally in the family.
So what do you tell the younger musicians who want to be Kimbra, want to get in the business, want to win Grammys and have multi-million selling hits? I mean, what advice does Kimbra give?
Well, it's not an easy industry. I think everyone should know that if they want to get into this world. It's like, it's very public, you know, and everything you say and do is being kind of watched. And I think that can be difficult when you're young. I think it's really important to know why you do what you do, you know, hold those values, because then all of these transient things can come and go, awards, highs, lows, but it doesn't affect you too much if you know here why you do what you do. And you know, I think it's important to like reaffirm that over and over again, right? Like, yeah, just discussing it with people, you know, what kind of roots you and centers you. And I know that I, you know, that's what's helped me get through the kind of whirlwind, you know. Mm.
And it has been, I'm sure, you know, going up and down. And the demands on artists is just amazing. People don't realize that you're in different cities all the time. You're in a bus. You're in a plane. You're off somewhere. And you've traveled the world. You've performed all throughout the globe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. There's not much stability. But in the same respect, it's like the stability comes from a different place. You know, maybe it's from the crowds every night. Or, yeah. Maybe it's from that spirit that keeps you going. But, yeah, I'm glad when people, like, acknowledge that, you know, it's not super easy keeping the stamina up every day.
No, it's especially hard now because in the today's technology, people buy singles. It's hard to sell albums.
Right.
That's a big, difficult challenge these days. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, keeping yourself fresh, reinventing yourself, that's something that you have done on all three albums, which is refreshing. The new album, Primal Heart, comes out in April.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Any reason you picked April as the time frame?
Well, it was going to come out earlier than that. But, you know, being a believer in the role of an album and kind of, you know, I think it's an iconic piece of art. It's there forever, right? Singles have a little bit of a like, transient nature, but I really respect the album. So I wanted to give it a little more time. And I'm coinciding some really exciting projects along with the album that will be released at the same time. And, yeah, I mean, I wanted some more time to kind of tweak a couple of things and get the campaign and the album just right. So people were so understanding. It was amazing, like, releasing that news to my fans. They were like, you do what you do. I trust your vision. And I just thought that was, like, really special. So,
is this a world tour that you're on right now?
We will head back to Europe soon, and Australia, New Zealand, Japan are probably on the cards. But right now it's just the States. Mm-hmm. And I haven't toured here for so long, so it's time. You know?
Do you have favorite places you like to go and perform?
Japan is a pretty amazing place. You've been there before?
I lived there.
Oh, my gosh.
For a couple of years, yeah. Shibuya and all the great places.
Oh, yeah.
Shinjuku.
Yes. Shimokitazawa. That's a really, really inspiring place for me, so I can't wait to go back there.
The crowds are a little different in Japan than they are in other places.
Oh,
they're reserved, and they won't get on the table and start screaming.
No. It's not part of the culture, no.
Now, you've done so many different things. I believe you were an actress as well.
I mean, acting was something I just loved at high school when I was young. I am about to take a bit of a big step and do my first film. It will be set in New Zealand, which is kind of, just really close to my roots, obviously. It's more of a musical role. I'm playing a musician, and I kind of perform a lot of the songs in the movie. But I do have a bit of dialogue, so that's something new for me.
Who are you starring with?
They're New Zealand actors. So, I'm not
so
sure
will it be released in New Zealand then?
But worldwide. Yeah. One of the actors is on a show called I, Zombie right now, and she's doing really well, Rose McGyver. So that'll be exciting.
There's a lot of great artists coming out of New Zealand. A lot of great music. Of course, Adele recently, but there's just a lot of great stuff.
Lord. Yeah. No, there's so much amazing music coming out of there. It's so cool that the country's getting recognized.
Right. Finally. Right? For the great music.
Yeah.
So, you know, Kimbra's in our studios and on tour for the new album, Primal Heart. You do a charity. You're involved, at least you have been involved with a charity.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been to Kenya. We have a lot of listeners in Kenya.
Fantastic.
We're on throughout Africa.
Fantastic.
Are you still associated with that charity?
Absolutely, yeah. I'm, you know, putting together my schedule for when I can go back. Ethiopia is the place I've spent most time, actually. Yeah, I did a short time in Kenya, but I really, you know, fell in love with not only the music of Ethiopia and the food, which I'm absolutely obsessed with, but the place, Addis Ababa. I think it's just something I needed to do. I needed to step out of LA and the bubble of narcissism. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah. And kind of experience life from a different perspective. And it was fantastic. And the work that Tirza is doing is around like kind of like microfinancing, helping women start their own businesses, women affected by HIV, to feed their children and get independent again. So it's really working with Ethiopians on the ground and Kenyans to, you know, kind of help partner alongside them and empower them to get inspired with the business and financially aid it. So, yeah, I'm just I'm so moved by the work, and I want to go back as much as I can, to be honest. Mm.
And there's an initiative, I think, called So They Can. Was that
the part of it? That's right. That's also associated with Africa as well, more on the orphanages side. Mm-hmm. The children have these fantastic orphanages that are also schooling and farmland, so they're growing their own. You know, it's a fantastic initiative to, like, yeah, again, just kind of encourage sustainability in those areas.
You do a lot of touring in Africa, a lot of visiting to Africa?
No, I mean, that's the kind of the cool thing is that going over there, I'm no one special, you know?
Well, you're always
like,
special. Come on, you're Kimbra.
But everyone's special in that context, you know, because we're all got ears and eyes and hands, and that's really freeing for me to go over not as a musician or a star and just listen and be there.
Wow. Well, you're a very special person and a pleasure to have on, and I can see why Rolling Stone called you one to watch, because you are one to watch. And we've been watching you for a few years now. 8 years, I guess. 2010 was when you first made your splash.
Thank you for your support.
Oh, it's a pleasure. And so thank you for coming to be our guest. We've got another song that you're going to kindly consent to do for us.
Yeah. Well, this is a song by one of my very favorite artists who was a big inspiration to me when I was growing up learning guitar, Amy Winehouse. Her music lives on in my heart, and I used to love playing this song. I'm going to try to attempt it for you guys now. It's from her first album, Frank. It's called I Heard Love Is Blind. I couldn't resist him. His eyes were like yours. His hair was exactly the shade of brown. But he's just not as tall. But I couldn't tell. It was dark and I was lying down. You are everything. He means nothing to me. I can't even remember his name. What? Why are you so upset? Baby, you weren't there. And I was thinking of you when I came. What do you expect? You left me here alone. And I drank so much and needed to touch. Don't overreact. I pretended he was you. You wouldn't want me to be lonely. Put it so you understand. I wouldn't let him hold my hand, but he looked like you. Yes, he looked like you. No, he wasn't you, but you can still trust me. This ain't infidelity. It's not cheating, 'cause you were on my mind. But he looked like you. But I heard love is blind.
Wow. I like it. You're so passionate. I can see where you say that the album's going to be passionate, because you are passionate.
Thank you.
Kimbra is our guest. And so I guess one of the songs was you worked with Nelly Furtado on one of the songs?
Well, I know Nelly, but I think you might be thinking of the producer she worked with, John Congleton, who I co-produced the record with. He's done a lot of work with Nelly Furtado and Blondie, Goldfrapp, St. Vincent. That was a fantastic experience. I think he really helped me find the courage to let my voice kind of shine a bit more on this new record. So I've always, being a producer, I've always wanted to, you know, put a lot of sounds around the voice and kind of clutter it with decoration. Mm. But he's really great at helping female artists, especially, kind of find their voice. Mm-hmm. It's been great.
When you're the main producer on an album and other producers come in, is that a good thing or a difficult thing because they want to change things and you have a vision? Is, you know, I often wonder, you know, sometimes when other people put a lot of chefs in the,
right,
the kitchen.
Right, of course. The way it works for me is I kind of get the demos as far as I can. So that involves programming beats, ideas that I have, maybe playing a little guitar myself, maybe putting down a bit of a bass synth line, maybe calling in some friends who I know have better musical talent than me on instruments, saying, hey, man, play this line for me, you know, singing lines to them. And then, of course, when I start to hit walls or feel like, yep, my skills aren't taking me all the way there, that's the point where I'll say, well, you know, this guy would be perfect right now, who's a beat maker that I'm really big fan of, who I know can nail this, or a guitarist that I know will have the right flair. And that's where I'll bring people in. And, of course, the role of a co-producer is often to help me produce my voice, because I'm so close to it, I'll often not know how to position it in the song, or, you know, it's all so personal, as you can see, that sometimes you lose sight of what the song needs. So that's the role of a co-producer sometimes, to be able to be that objective voice. But at the end of the day, I'm always the one to sign off on things, and I think everyone I work with knows that, right? It's got to go through the filter. I'm the one getting up singing these songs every night, so
right,
I've got to,
right.
You know, I've got to feel attached to the, every detail and feel like it represents who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just about respect, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Would you say you're a perfectionist?
Unfortunately, I'm definitely known to be one, but and I'm working on it, because I think perfectionism is a gift, but it's also a great weakness if you can't let go.
Right.
And I see... Yeah, I see how that can stand in my way sometimes. Mm. But again, that's the beauty of having great collaborators who know when to be like, keep it imperfect, keep it as it is, yeah.
You mentioned at the beginning you had other projects this year. What can you let us in? Can you share some insight into some of those other projects?
Sure. Well, it's kind of relevant to what I've been doing here today, but because these songs, as you put, are quite, you know, close to my heart, and they seem to work well on a guitar, so I'm considering doing a Primal Heart Unplugged version, a series of songs from the record that will be very stripped back in this kind of format, with some help of, you know, other musicians who will just decorate the sides of the song. I think that could be a really nice way to connect with my audience, and I'm brainstorming how I might go about that now. Mm. So,
well, I'm sure you could pull it off. Your voice is great. You have a beautiful voice.
It's a little raspy this morning, but thank you.
Well, it sounds great to me. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Where can people connect with you on social media? How can people? Because I know you're very connected to your audience. In fact, you sent out emails to your fans directly.
That's right.
From you.
I'm glad you know that. You know,
last year, you're very personally involved with your audience and your fans and your supporters. So how can they connect with you? How can you make some new fans? Where do they go?
Well, I will say that the mailing list is actually a great way to keep in touch, especially if you're someone that doesn't like to be spammed with like boring newsletters, but actually likes to hear from an artist. You know, I write them in the back of the tour bus like I'm writing to a friend, you know. So, yeah, you just go to kimbramusic.com and there's a place to sign up to the mailing list there. And, of course, yeah, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. I'm keeping in touch with people there and keeping updates. So I'd love to hear from people.
And it's just Kimbra on Facebook.
Yeah,
or Twitter,
right.
Or whatever.
Yep.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much for being on the show.
Amazing. Thank you.
Primal Heart is the name of the album. Our guest has been Kimbra, and this is Border Crossings.
Tonight, I just want to take you away. Throw your hands up in the sky. Let's set this party on fire.
Magic in the air. gangsters. Bad bitches and your ugly old friends. I cannot preach. Uh-oh. I cannot preach. Uh-oh. I gotta show them how a pimp get it in. First, take your sip. Do your dip. Spend your money like money ain't shit. Ooh, ooh. We too fresh. Got to blame it on Jesus. Hashtag blessed. They ain't ready for me. I'm a dangerous man with some money in my pocket.
Keep up.
So many pretty girls around me and they're waking up the rocket.
Keep up.
Why you mad? Fix your face. Ain't my fault they all be jacking.
Keep up.
Players only.
Come on. Put your pinky rings up to the moon.
Woo. Girls.
What y'all trying to do?
What you trying to do?
24 karat magic in the
Crossings with Larry London on VOA 1.
Crossings, Shaft. Isaac Hayes, who was a guest of ours a few years ago. That's a request from Karuna Kantapal from West Bengal, India. Namaste, Karuna Kantapal. Thank you for listening. We also heard music from Bruno Mars, 6 Grammy winner on Sunday night for 24 Karat Magic. Got a couple. And way to go, Bruno. Congratulations. I loved his performance with Cardi B of Finesse. They look great. That was a request from Peter Kerr here on Border Crossings. I'm Larry London. And once again, I have to thank Kimber for coming on the show. She was amazing. And she, very, very talented young lady. I hope she gets all the attention and the success that she deserves. She was a part of a huge record from Gautier, somebody that I used to know. From 2012, that won a couple of Grammys. It was the record of the year. And so she deserves a lot of attention and love and praise and very, very talented. I can't wait to see the TV interview when it gets posted on TV. And we're going to put that up very soon. You can see it on our website as well, voanews.com. Go to the TV part, broadcast TV schedule, and you'll be able to see the Border Crossings TV episodes. All right, coming up next, we've got a request from Amar Siwa in Ghana on 98.1 FM. This guy's known as Israel. And this is one of the big hits from Iz. It's called Over the Rainbow on Border Crossings.
Myself, What a wonderful world. Someday I wish upon a star, wake up with the clouds all far behind. Be where trouble melts like a lemon drops, high above the chimney top, that's where you find me. Oh, somewhere over the rainbow, way up high. And the dream that you dare to, why, oh, why can't
is a legend in Hawaii, where he was from. They've got a statue in his likeness, Israel Kama Kawiwa Ole, and Somewhere Over the Rainbow here on Border Crossings. Thank you for that request. I do want to say hello to a bunch of folks before I do the contest. Justin Wenna, Moses Sarugo, Andy Baker, Slim J. Slim J is in Freetown, Sierra Leone, listening. Patilo, Cletus Clarks has tuned in and said hi on Facebook. Etienne, Habu Mugisha, Havana, Bartle Bart, Tau Buhari, Mary Buckman, Naka Emanuels. Thank you all for going to Facebook.com/VOA Larry London. It's time for our CD giveaway. We've been talking a lot about the Grammys. This is your final chance to win our last copy of the Grammy Nominees Compilation 2018 CD. And today, our lucky listener of the day is Daniel Tshome in Ethiopia. Daniel Tshome, congratulations. You are the winner. You get the final copy of the Grammy CD. We'll have other prizes to give away, other CDs and things in the near future. We, of course, still have calendars. If you want one of those, mail us your postal mailing address, or write it in to Facebook.com/VOA Larry London. I got a letter in the mail today and a request, and somebody also wants a calendar, so we're happy to do that. Got calendars to send out. We just need to know where to send them to. Again, thank you, Kimber, for joining us on Border Crossings today. Thank you, Wagner, our engineer, Vince, our director, and we've got some great guests coming up in the near future. You're going to be excited to hear some of these exciting guests. Aaron Carter will be joining us, Chuck Negron of Three Dog Night, quite a few other folks coming up on the near programs in the future. I'm Larry London. Have a great night, and I'll talk to you again tomorrow. This is Border Crossings on the VOA 1 Music Network.
Join Larry on Facebook at Facebook.com/VOA Larry London.